Mini episode 613 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 613. It's your favorite football talkers anywhere. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge signatories, breaking down NFL Week 5 for you. This is the third card in a row that I really, really hate, but the last 2 weeks I've been saying that, and I'm treading water. I was 9-6 last week, 2-1 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock for the year. Off to probably my best start overall for the year, maybe ever. 35-27-1, highly profitable. 7-5 on my big three, 2-2 on my locks, shockingly enough. Kyle, you at 4-2 last week, 15-9 for the year. And I just want to say the warm, welcoming strands of Jackal bringing us in this week, that's all for you, my friend.
Yes, yes, the Lumberjack. The only song in history that made me call Dial MTV, and that's, I'm really sounding old when I make a Dial MTV reference there, but the only song that ever made me dial it, you actually had to, like, pay. I mean, did anyone under the age of, like, 25 would just vomit on themselves when they probably learn that there was a time in life when some of us would pay 99 cents to call MTV to desperately request a video. And I did with the Lumberjack. It was Christmas Eve, either 91 or 92, I can't remember. And it made number 10 that day, Ricky. It got on. I think my one vote got it on at number 10. So a memory that I will never forget and a song that will stay in my heart for years to come.
Well, you know what? I'll have to add the Lumberjack to the rotation here possibly as well. We'll have to do that. But, yeah, had to do something here in honor of your fine start to the season, 15-9 thus far. And a card that I know, yet again, I don't think you hate as much as I do.
No, and what's interesting is that I'm going with three favorites. I have five recommended plays this week. Three are favorites. It's very rare for me. And somewhat ironic on the heels of your Monday night text to me where you stated, quote, "I'm beginning to grasp the benefit of these ugly dogs," as the Detroit Lions came through for me to ensure a winning week. So, you know, anytime I can change your constitution, Rick Morris, or should I say amend your constitution, wow, my work has been done here. So,
I still don't think we're talking the same language because I think it's the cynicism of a fix. Russell Wilson conveniently just dropping that football out of nowhere when
Ricky,
it looked like Detroit had no chance of covering.
Ricky, yeah. don't make it. Don't make a fool of yourself. Why would Russell Wilson be on a fix like 6 weeks after he signed some gigantic contract? Because I'm sure he really cared about that. You know why he fumbled the ball? Because he leads the league in fumbles and his offensive line stinks. That's why he fumbled the ball.
I don't think you're going to like my take on the fumble that won them the game either, the fumble that Megatron had there. As far as getting batted out of the end zone, gee, maybe if the Seahawks played a little less street ball, maybe if they were a little less concerned about what's going to look cool on a vine and actually dived on a football in the end zone, come on. He either recovers the ball or it goes out of the back of the end zone. This whole thing, he batted the ball to try to look street. You know it, Kyle Ross.
Atrocious. I mean, it was a wrong call, but that's a wrong take, too. No, he didn't. I was as shocked as my main man, Ray Lou, speaking of the streets, on Monday Night Football. I thought it was fine. I mean, when he did it, it seemed awkward, but I was like most of the commentators after the game who thought that was no different than when you see the punter kick the ball to the back of the end zone. I did think what he did, I'm like, oh, I guess Detroit gets a safety then? But, you know, I didn't know that. I certainly wasn't aware of that rule that Detroit was to get the ball back. I, like many fantasy people, was just overjoyed that Calvin Johnson didn't score because had he, I would have lost my game.
Well, I was going to say, shout out to my good friend and fellow member of the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, Paul Pasek, who won his game on that Megatron fumble there, not scoring the touchdown. So congratulations, Paulie. And as we look ahead to this week's slate, we start with the Thursday game where, again, I am very, very, very annoyed. Does Vegas not know or not care that we're taping the show, albeit on Tuesday here? We need lines. We're not getting lines. First one up is Indianapolis at Houston. Indianapolis, the previous line, I think, had maybe been a pick. I think you said Indianapolis minus one you'd seen it someplace. Regardless, I'm going to go Houston. On a short week, this whole is he or isn't he drama with Andrew Luck, how bad is the separated shoulder? Well, if he plays, I think it's going to get a whole lot worse, courtesy of J.J. Watt. As bad as Indianapolis is on both lines, I can't like them in this matchup here. As much as I don't like anything that Houston brings to the table, especially offensively, some kind of 13-9 dumbed down kind of, you know, the ugly, ugly scrimmage probably looks likely here. I'll take Houston regardless of that.
Well, obviously, you know, I mean, Andrew Luck's presence and versus absence is a huge deal. We saw that swing the line roughly 5 points, I believe it was, Sunday morning against the Jaguars when it was announced he was not going to play. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, although I do enjoy your facetiousness that Vegas needs to give us numbers to work for here for the program. It's understandable why there's no line, obviously. And because of that, I'm not going to make any kind of pick here. Someone in my shoes, the way I like to bet, what I'd like to see, obviously, is Luck to play and the line to get steamed up, maybe over a field goal. I don't know if that's going to happen, though, even as bad as Houston is, and they are bad, by the way. I mean, they're already playing musical chairs at the quarterback position, and it's week four. So that's not a good sign. So what I'll say instead is that I want to focus on the macro as I lose my train of thought here. I knew I had a point here. And here it is. The macro at the Colts. I said before the year, wouldn't it be ironic – don't you think, if this was the year the Colts regressed after me being cold on them the last 2 years and them making me look dumb then, I go and pick them to make the Super Bowl this year, which I'm regretting already, and, you know, all the ugly warts that you and I have talked about in this program for the last 2 years are really coming to fruition with this team. They're bad, man. I mean, they'll be lucky to win an awful AFC South. And the pattern continues. Since 2012, they're 18-2 in division games, 22-4 in games decided by 7 points or less, which is beyond preposterous. And sure enough, their two wins this year, Ricky, what are they? By a combined 5 points over Tennessee and Jacksonville. So if you were giving me at least a field goal, I'd be interested in Houston here, but if not, I'll just sit out.
Well, yeah, I don't blame you for that. In terms of looking ahead to the games for the weekend here, in as much as, again, breaking kayfabe a little bit as we're taping on Tuesday, announcers have not been released yet, or at least printed in USA Today Sports Weekly, which is my usual crutch for furnishing that information.
No
announcers. Although, again, and we will be taping on Tuesdays occasionally during the season, basically whatever it's best for Kyle. But this week necessitated, here's a little first out there for anybody. This has not been publicly announced yet, but necessitated by the Wednesday taping for the sixth time, with the legendary Bob Barker coming back in the FDH lounge. So had to clear the decks for Bob on Wednesday. So small price to pay not having any announcers when you got Bob Barker coming back to the show here, coming on down, as it were. We start with a very ugly matchup in the state of Florida, Tampa Bay hosting Jacksonville. This has been pretty much a consistent three-point line for the Bucs, just kind of the standard three-point home courtesy. I had thought, I don't know if I was prescient enough to say this after week one, but I thought it was a little bit of an overreaction how people were piling on the Bucs as the worst team in the league. And I think we've seen some much uglier performances in recent weeks that have kind of shown us that the Bucks are they're in that group, and so are the Jags, but it's not a clear-cut number 32 in their case. I go back and forth. I've oversimplified in the past and said I'm just going to default to the home team, but I guess that's kind of what I'm doing here. I think the Tampa Bay, I trust them a little bit more defensively. I trust Jameis Winston a little bit more than I do Bortles at the moment. Give me the Bucks, but this certainly never came close to cracking my top three.
This is one that I would be shocked if it wasn't the least bet game of the week. You have a immovable object and the unstoppable force or whatever the heck
right.
The old phrase is.
You're close, kind of the opposite.
This is the opposite of that. We have a Jacksonville team that has lost 11 straight road games against a Tampa Bay team that has lost 11 straight home games. Unfathomable in today's NFL. Tampa Bay is not making me look very smart. This is a team that, you know, a lot of the traditional signs said this team was going to improve rather dramatically. They were, you know, teams that go 0-8 at home 1 year tend to improve a lot the next year. They lost a lot of close games last year. They've won one this year against New Orleans, but, you know, certainly I was hoping for a better than 1-3 start. Most people do have these as the two worst teams in the league, or most power rankings that I look at. I cannot lay points with Tampa Bay. I would not be shocked at all if they won this game by a field goal. Both teams did, you know, if you want to scrounge up something positive here, both teams played pretty good last week in defeat. Both had the edge in the
right.
Full yard. Tampa Bay actually had a significant, really pissed me off losing Carolina. That was one of my two losses last week. They had a significant edge in total yards over the Panthers, but undone by 5 turnovers, which is the concern right now with Jameis. So I'm laying off here. You got to think that a home streak like that is more likely to be broken than a road streak when you've got two bad teams. But I cannot lay points with Tampa Bay right now. No.
Don't blame you. Up next, we have Buffalo at Tennessee. This is the Bills laying 2.5. It opened at 3. I have a unified theory of Rex Ryan and the Bills that it has taken me 4 weeks to come to. I look at their two wins because, again, I've sort of bounced around on them, as has everybody else, been very reactionary based on who they played. The two wins, Miami and Indianapolis, that kind of squares with it. The Ryan family as a whole really kind of has that bully mentality. If you're overrated, if you're a team that's not nearly as good as everybody thinks and you're vulnerable, they're going to punch you right in the face. They're 0-2 against teams that don't fit that bill. You got Tennessee coming off a bye. They're nothing to write home about, but you know what? They're not the mess that the Dolphins and Colts are right now. Give me Tennessee getting the 2.5 points here at home because they don't fit the profile of a team you expect the Bills to wallop.
I like it, Ricky. I love the breakdown. I love the pick.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
You really kind of touched on something that I was going to get into with the who has Buffalo beat. You know, there was a lot of excitement coming off the win over, particularly the week one win over Indianapolis. And then, you know, they went to Miami. They made me look like a fool. I had the Dolphins that game. Whoops. Oh, by the way, I was actually 5-2 last week, Ricky.
5-2. Nice. Okay.
Yeah, 4-2 on
picks.
Hold on. This is a joke here, Ricky. Don't take it too seriously. 4-2 on picks. 4-2 on picks. 1-0 on coaches getting fired. Joe Philbin. We hardly knew you. I told you if they lost, he was gone. Maybe I should get a point for that. Anyway, I digress.
But I digest.
Yes. So they beat Indianapolis and Miami, as we both said in our own very different ways. And those wins, just in retrospect, aren't nearly as impressive as they looked at the time.
Right.
It's kind of like a college thing, you know, because college so much about is made of impressive wins. And, you know, I think there's a lot of lazy pollsters who don't reevaluate wins. I mean, you see, like, an example, if I can go way off the deep end here for you, Ricky, you know, Michigan State beats Oregon, everyone's, you know, doing cartwheels in East Lansing over that win, Now, you know, the fact they beat Oregon by 3 at home don't look that impressive after Oregon loses by 49 at home to Utah. So I'm totally with you here. This is a very traditional squares versus sharps type split on this game. I don't mean to belittle anyone, but when you look at the betting on this game, you see 70% of people on Buffalo. But the line has actually come down.
Yeah,
so what
I noticed
that indicates
that.
Is, yeah, what that indicates is the larger wagers likely on the so-called smart money, likely on Tennessee. You know, I mean, if there's five guys who are betting 1,000 on a game and 50 who are betting 100, you know, what side do you want to be on? Titans, you said it, they're off a bye. And I think they've been better than a lot of people realize. They've actually outgained all three opponents this year. I'll take the 2.5, but I don't think they need them. I think they're going to win this game outright. First recommendation of the week, Tennessee Titans.
I think they're going to as well. I know we have a recommendation coming up in the next game here as well from what you and I talked about off air. You've got Baltimore hosting the Browns. Baltimore is laying 6.5. It had been down to 6, but it's back up to 6.5. And in looking at this again, regardless of sport and a lot of times in fantasy sports as well as, you know, quote-unquote, you know, real sports, I'm a big regression to the mean, progression to the mean guy. I've been saying all along, I expect the Browns defense to progress to the mean. I don't know if it's percentage of the cap or raw dollars, but they have the most expensive defense in the league, which is pretty shocking right about now the way that they're playing.
Yeah.
There should be some improvement there. I keep saying they're not as bad as they have looked. However, the offense is also playing over its head. And, again, the regression that you're going to see from the offense is, I think, going to overcome what you get from the improvement of the defense. And it's going to be sort of typical. The Browns have done this in the past, by the way. When you expect the defense to be really good, they've done this, I don't know if it was 3 years ago or 5 years ago or when it was. They've done this a couple times before where they're the opposite of what you think, but they're still not very good. And, again, I just think you're looking at a Baltimore team that's starting to get its footing, a team that you and I both said shouldn't be written off at 0-3. There's a world of difference between 0-3 and 1-3. As there is between 1-3 and 2-3, that's where the Ravens are going, and I expect them to roll. And I say that sadly as a Browns fan, but it doesn't change with the reality of what's coming.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of like last year. You know, early in the year, the Browns were involved in these high, you know, these high scoring games.
That's right.
No one expected.
That's right.
Yeah, you alluded to it. I am on Baltimore here. This is my second recommendation of the week. Not giving up on the Ravens. With the Browns and then San Francisco on deck, I think 500. I think you're looking at a team that gets right back to 500 pretty quickly.
Yeah,
this line,
the turnaround's coming.
Yeah, this line being under a touchdown shocks me. Last year in Baltimore, the Browns were a double-digit dog. Now you can argue that the Ravens aren't as strong this year, but that much weaker? I think the line was 12.5. I don't think they're that much weaker. Cleveland left it all on the field last week in a heartbreaking loss in San Diego. The odds of a bad team being competitive 2 weeks in a row, pretty small, especially on the road. I think the Ravens absolutely romp here. And with Philbin gone, your boy Mike Pettine, I think, may have the hottest seat in the league.
I don't know about that because Ray Farmer's seat's pretty hot as well, and it might be a zero-sum game between them. But I'll tell you this, though. You make an excellent point about the value inherent in this game for the Ravens, and that being, again, we talk about looking beyond the records. The Redskins, of course, having some narrow losses, but all anybody looks at is they started the season 0-3. That's, I think, the main reason that they're not laying more points than they are, is that sort of mouth breather kind of approach to
it.
Oh,
yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, you know me. One loss record is something that
I
almost never – I mean, I know them all. I know every team's one loss record because it would sound really stupid if I didn't, but it's not something that I consider – too much when making my picks.
Right.
You know, I like to look at that points for, points against, and, you know, yards for, yards against, some other stuff as well. So, yeah, Ravens roll here.
Ravens roll.
Exactly. I agree with that as well. Up next, we have one of the NFL and NFC's old school franchises here, the Chicago Bears, and a classic AFL / AFC franchise, the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City is hosting this one, of course, weighing 9 points. It started off at 10. This is one where, again, I've been wrong, and you and I are both wrong about the Chiefs last week versus Cincinnati, but again, they're overdue to break out. I think it's a letdown game for Chicago. They're not going to win very many games this year. This is certainly not going to be number two for them. And I think it's going to be wrong place, wrong time. Kansas City, you talk about, again, not as bad as the record. They've sort of been a victim of circumstance a little bit thus far this season. And, again, I think the Bears are going to get it taken out on them pretty good. I look for the Chiefs to roll in this one here. I like them laying the 9.
Ooh. I'm not going to recommend it, but I can make a case for the Bears here.
Wow.
The Chiefs are, while I am not punting on them to the degree that I did my other wild card pick, Miami, I'm feeling a little uneasy about Kansas City. And, I've said this, I went off about it last week. It's Alex Smith, man. The Chiefs are not a team built to cover big spreads like this. And I think what you were touching on with victim of circumstance, Kansas City, is look who they played the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Denver, they probably should have won. Then they had to go into Lambeau. And then, Cincinnati's obviously looking very good. Those are three of the top probably six teams in the league right now, conservative with rankings. So the fact they're 1-3, I guess, isn't horrible. And I certainly think Kansas City can fight its way back into the playoff race. But, this is not an explosive team that is going to cover big spreads like this. And Chicago, who was a winner for me, thank you very much, against Oakland, with Jay Cutler back, I think people need to maybe revisit the thought of Bears, OMG, are the worst team in the league. Because look at who they've played the last so far this season. Now, Oakland at home, okay, that was their win, but the three losses were Green Bay, Arizona, and Seattle.
Arizona? And OMG.
Yeah, and they didn't have Jay Cutler for half of those three games. Remember, he left fairly early in the Cardinals game, and they played Green Bay tough, only lost that game by a touchdown, and they were trading touchdowns with Arizona in week two. Clawson's obviously awful, but, Cutler's back. Jeffrey could be back. I think the Bears can stay with the Chiefs in this game. The only thing that scares me off is a lot of people are on the line going below double digits, and it seems like a lot of people are actually on the Bears here, which, always kind of scares me off. The trendy underdog is the one underdog I don't like. So I'm staying away here, but I can make a lot stronger case for Chicago than I can Kansas City.
Interesting. Okay. Up next, we have a game where a team that lost in the playoffs 2 years ago will be looking to avenge that. It is the Eagles hosting the Saints. Philadelphia is laying 4.5. It opened at 5, have been up as high as 5.5, back to 4.5 at this point. And in looking at this again, the Eagles have been crapped on by a lot of people, and I think deservedly so, and I've done my fair share of it and will continue to. But in looking at the specific circumstances of this week, I think the Eagles get that revenge from that game. You got the Saints that I think are going to be off a little bit of a letdown coming off of that major fluke on Sunday night versus the Cowboys. And I think, again, Philadelphia, they haven't shown it consistently, but defensively they've been stronger than I've expected through the course of the first four games, if not consistently so. And I think they're going to be able to bring that kind of pressure to be able to fluster Drew Brees, who's showing that he ain't quite what he used to be at this point here. Philadelphia at home, I like them covering the 4.5.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you just said. The way I look at this game is not a lot of people are going to want to lay the points with the Eagles.
Right.
So yes, you know me. Well, I'll do it then. With New Orleans, who was a very fortunate cover, as you kind of alluded to, for me and others, Sunday night, I had such mixed feelings at the missed field goal at the end of regulation there, because I was like, well, That would have been a push had he made it, which is whatever. But now I guess I got a chance to win, but, you know, I guess I have a chance to lose too. And wouldn't you know it, you know, right off the rip, they score the touchdown, beat Dallas. But I watched that whole game, and I know this isn't earth-shattering news, what I'm about to offer here. You've, in fact, you know, kind of hammered this point home the last 2 weeks. My, oh, my. New Orleans has fallen. Even
yep.
with Breeze back. Like, watching that game, you know, I talked about last week at the open of the show making a mistake of going against with Kansas City in Green Bay and kind of watching the opening minutes of that game unfold and, you know, just how great the Packers looked. The Saints used to kind of be like that when you would go against them. And it's just not the same anymore. It was a struggle for them to get to 26 against a kind of bad Dallas team. So off the high-profile national TV win, I think they come back to earth. They're outside again on the road. Eagles are desperate. Yeah, give me Chip Kelly and the Eagles laying the points. Recommendation number 3.
All right, we're in alignment on that one. Up next, it is St. Louis at Green Bay. You got the Rams getting 9 points in this one, had been 10 initially. And this is one where I kind of went back and forth, but I'm on the Rams just in terms of I've sort of got a gut feel about this, and the Rams screw me either way, so there's no way I was going to make this a recommended pick. I've pretty much learned that lesson, but I'm on the Rams because it seems to me the last couple of years the Packers have had their issues with the teams from that division who I think all uniformly pretty much play a tough style of defense, including last week. San Francisco, I think right now, by the way, and you can keep finding the FDH Lounge Power Rankings, same place as you find this show, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the FDHLounge.blogspot.com. I got the 49ers 32nd in the league right now in the Power Rankings. Green Bay still only put up 17 on them. It was a struggle. I had Green Bay last week as my lock, but I was sweating that one a little bit more through the course of the game than I thought I was going to. It's just a residual of what San Francisco used to be that was still kind of slowing down Aaron Rodgers. He's been on this incredible roll at Lambeau. It's got to end at some point. I realize the flaw in that theory. But St. Louis plays the same kind of style of physical defense. If there's any questions about that offensive line still at this point, which there may be, the front seven of St. Louis is pretty fearsome. And I think they discovered last week their weapon moving forward here. One of the guys who may help reverse the trend in the league towards this extreme passing and bring it back, bell cows are rare, but ladies and gentlemen, Todd Gurley is one of them. You got your first taste of it last week. If I'm St. Louis, I just pound it out, try to control the clock, try to get Aaron Rodgers out of rhythm. I think it's going to work. I don't see them winning the game, but I see them covering the 9.
This was an easy one for me to punt on. You know, it always seems like games that you start off with, well, I went back and forth on this one, are ones that in my head I'm like, yeah, I have no interest in playing this game. Green Bay, look, I think I just said it, 2 minutes ago? I don't want to go against them at Lambeau. They are just incredible. You know, last week was on the road. My heart goes out to 49er backers because that game was yours for the taking. All you needed was kind of some garbage touchdown, and Kaepernick couldn't even generate that. The thing with the Rams that I'd be concerned about is their very predictable pattern of following up an impressive win with a no-show. And turnovers really helped them beat Arizona last week. And if they're not getting turnovers here, and Rodgers doesn't throw interceptions at home generally, you wonder, do they have the firepower to kind of keep pace? There's always the chance Green Bay could pull away late. So I'm not playing this one at all. No, this is maybe the toughest call of the week.
Don't blame you. It is a difficult one. If for no other reason, and like I said, the Rams always screw the public, no matter which side they're betting.
Yes,
up next,
yes, they do.
We're getting in. Yeah, they do. In the later games here, it's New England at Dallas. Patriots are laying 9 on the road. Had been 7 initially, moved to 7.5 now. Today it's 9. And, again, I go back and forth on this one. It is a situation where Bill Belichick has got 2 weeks of prep. That call was kind of difficult here with going against New England. But it seems a lot. And it seems like, again, and it's easy to say, OMG, 2 weeks to prepare for Brandon Weeden, but it's sort of the difficult lesson that Browns fans have come to learn over the years. Guys look a little bit different when they're in a competent system. Dallas has had a great offensive system for many years now. Brandon Weeden is always going to be who he is, a.k.a. not a legitimate starter, but he's not quite the liability that he would be if he was in Cleveland. Not that I think you'd say that for a lot of players. I just think Dallas finds a way to keep it close enough that they've been able to get the ground game moving a little bit better the last couple of weeks collectively. I think they can kind of grind it out, keep it a little closer. Also, by the way, New England secondary is still nothing to write home about, which is an alarm I've been sounding all year. So Terrence Williams may still find a way to get some stuff done, even with Weeden throwing him the ball. One way or another, I like the Cowboys to stay under the 9.
Yeah, and I think this one might keep going up, too. From the way it's looking, I would never, ever play a road favorite of more than a touchdown. You know me. But, and here's what, you know what's odd is, doesn't this losing streak of Brandon Weeden have to end? I mean, can a guy really just, can some poor sap just keep losing every start? He has been okay. I don't think he's sucked by any means. You know, it's not like, I don't think, you know, I think this talk of moving to Matt Castle is a little unwarranted, quite frankly. Yeah, I, if you really want to play this one, folks, you got to go with the home dog. But I'm not going to. I think, you know, tough loss for Dallas last week. It'll be interesting to see how they respond. Although Jason Garrett, as we know, great, great record when taking points. So
That's true. Got to factor that in as well. An old-school AFC West rivalry here. You've got the Broncos at Oakland. Denver is laying 5, had been 5.5 initially. And this was a very, very tough one for me. I kept going back and forth, particularly the way that Denver has been looking offensively. And, again, as a Peyton Manning fantasy owner here, he's caused me some heartburn. I mean, they're not where they need to be yet offensively. It's still a work in progress. Some of it will get better as he learns the system. Some of it won't get better because it's just physical decline. But to me, what's more important is the matchup of this very trendy Oakland offense right now that everybody is slobbering about against this Denver defense, which, ladies and gentlemen, it's the best in the league right now, this just in. And that's where I'm putting my money on this one. Not that it's one of my big three, but I'm taking Denver laying the 5 because even on the road, I think it should probably be a little bit more than that. I think it's going to be a long day for Derek Carr and company.
Yeah, I pretty much completely agree. Now, it's interesting here. If you go back to the Cleveland-Baltimore game where I'm playing the favorite, Baltimore, who's at home, though, by the way, we've seen a significant reduction in the line here from last season, just like Baltimore-Cleveland.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think it's actually warranted, though. Oakland is better than they were last year.
Yes.
But I love how you hit on the Denver defense versus the Oakland offense. This Oakland offense did not put up many yards at all last week against Chicago. What are they going to do against Denver? I mean, I think unless if Peyton Manning just really sucks, that, you know, Oakland's going to have some trouble here. They're going to be a trendy underdog pick with the Sharps, but I'm not joining them on this one. I'm a little trepidatious with the silver and black here.
Don't blame you. A team that I'm sure is not going to be a trendy underdog in many quarters, because as I said, some people may agree with me, they're the 32nd team in the NFL right now. The San Francisco 49ers, they're going to the East Coast to play the New York Giants at the Meadowlands. It is a 7-point line here that the Niners are getting. A lot of alarm bells here. 1 o'clock East Coast game for a West Coast team. They've looked about as bad offensively.
This is
This is what happens when I remember USA Today Sports Weekly in front of me. You are absolutely right, because I remember chuckling about that earlier in the day, like, ooh, I bet NBC wishes they could flex out of this one. So you're absolutely right. You know what? It just made me feel a little bit better about my pick with my boo-boo there that it turns out was an incorrect assumption. I'm on San Francisco in this one because, again, the Giants are just one of these schizophrenic teams, and it feels like this is the week we should be saying, OMG, they're for real because of what they did to Buffalo last week. But then again, as we covered before, is Buffalo really for real? How much does that win mean? So I sort of don't want to be weather vane guy on the Giants and jump on them after that win. San Francisco, I think they're going to – it's going to be an ugly game. I think we're due to start seeing a few more turnovers from Eli Manning. I've been saying that for a little bit now. And San Francisco, say what you will about the rest of the team, they can generate the straight turnover here. I think the 49ers get under the number somehow.
You know, I'm feeling – This is going to be an ugly game that the Giants probably win close, but under the number is what I anticipate. But I'm feeling pretty good about this, my Giants pick to win the NFC East, believe it or not. I'm feeling pretty good, like, long-term
by
on
default,
this team.
By default, maybe.
What's that?
By default, maybe.
yeah, it kind of is, because I really don't like any of the other three. But, you know, the front seven's been better, much better, in fact, than expected for Big Blue. And, let's keep in mind that this is a team that has had held a double-digit lead in every fourth quarter this season. So they're certainly better than their 2-2 record, make no mistake about it. But to your point, this does kind of have the makings of one they'll probably sleepwalk through.
You would think so. It keeps happening to them over the course of their recent history. We now come to the Monday nighter. It is the Squealers going out to San Diego to play the Chargers here. San Diego is laying the standard 3 points at home, had opened at 3.5 initially. I know it's always dangerous to make picks off of the macro pick for the season here, but I got the Chargers going to the Super Bowl and indeed winning it. And I haven't burned that pick as quickly as you have burned your pick of the Colts making it there. And I think even you'd concede to me right now they got a better shot than the Colts do. But I don't know. Only laying the 3 to Pittsburgh. I understand Pittsburgh is going to be closer to full strength offensively, albeit still without Roethlisberger. That doesn't seem like that's getting factored into the line enough. And I just don't think there's enough respect for San Diego right now. Yeah, they squeaked it out against the pathetic Browns last week, but I think it'll be a much better performance coming here. San Diego should be laying more than 3. They deserve more respect than this. You know I'll give them more respect than this. This was close to being one of my big 3 plays, but I like San Diego.
See, it's funny. I actually would still think the Colts have a better chance at making the Super Bowl than the Chargers simply because of the division. But Rick Morris, who cares about that? I absolutely love San Diego here. I mean, love them. I was shocked to learn that the advanced line on this game was -6.5. And that line is set, you know, the week before. It's kind of like, you know,
okay,
you got a small window in the previous Sunday afternoon to bet it. I know that San Diego was tooth and nail there with the Browns, and a lot of people, particularly in Pittsburgh, will say that their team should have won last Thursday against Baltimore. But Mike Vick sucked, I thought.
Yep.
West Coast teams typically perform much better against teams from the East Coast in night games. Phillip Rivers is carrying a tip of the cap to Phillip Rivers. He really carried the team against the Browns last week. I don't think much about the rest of the team. The offensive line's in shambles, but I think the Chargers absolutely roll here. I don't think the Steelers are very good at all with Mike Vick under center, and you're the one who always makes fun of the vanilla 3-point lines. Allow me to do it this week. This line is just wrong. I think the Chargers should be favored by way, way more. My third favorite of the week, by the way. How about that?
You're getting to be more like me all the time. You're making fun of the 3-point vanilla home lines, picking favorites. We just got to get you into picking some road favorites here. Road favorite Ricky has to rub off on you a little bit. Maybe we'll get one of those out of you this year. I'd like to think so.
No, I seriously doubt that's going to happen. But you never
probably know.
You never know.
What's interesting, as we get to the big 3, where, again, I've been 7-5 through the course of the year, as we start to get into these, I have one that sort of smells like a Kyle Ross pick here because I am going with the Redskins. We're getting 7.5. It had been 8 at the open. They are at the Georgia Dome to play the Falcons this week here. With the way that the Redskins have looked, again, defensively a little better than I thought they would look. Again, maybe not consistently so, but they proved against Philadelphia last week, as I said, that, they're not as bad at this point as I thought they were going to be, quite frankly, as some other people thought they were going to be. And it's weird because Kirk Cousins is still a turnover machine, and the Falcons are pretty good at ball hawking. They play more bend but don't break and get the turnovers. But, you know, that's the kind of thing you can't count on in a given week here. And strangely enough, you'd think the confluence here is that Cousins is going to throw 12 INTs. I just don't see it. I think that this is a week where the Falcons don't get the turnovers that they've been getting recently. And if that's the case, Washington's not a bad team offensively. I think they can definitely stay within the 7.5.
This is a Kyle Ross pick, as a matter of fact. Fifth and final recommendation. Love Washington getting more than a score here. They are one of the select number of teams in the league that has outgained every opponent this year. I was shocked to see that. Kind of violating one of my own rules by going with Kirk Cousins off a win, but, you know, the points are generous here. So I think, you know, I'd be shocked if they pulled the outright upset. But Atlanta's maybe a little due to stub their toe. So give me Washington. Give me Washington plus the points here. I think that this will be a back-and-forth game.
That's part of it. I think the Falcons are due to stub their toe, too. You wouldn't think that they'd lose outright, but, again, sometimes the first loss of the season is a shocking one. We move next to, again, a road favorite that I like. Imagine that road favorite Ricky likes team here. It's the Cards are laying 2.5 at Detroit. It had been 3 at the open. And this is almost a why ask why pick for me. I mean, I'm going to just assume here. I'm going to rationalize that everybody is unduly down on Arizona after the loss outright to the Rams here, and that's why they're not laying more. But for a Detroit team that, again, now Detroit hung tough with Seattle, so maybe that's the overreaction there as well. Arizona should be laying more than this right now with the state of both franchises. It's not a why ask why. I'm going to be on the Cardinals. I hope they don't make me sorry.
Yeah, I actually can't disagree with you here. Short week for the Lions, and we always talk about teams struggle the week after Seattle. I know it didn't hurt Green Bay that one game when I tried to sound really smart a couple weeks ago, but I think it will hurt Detroit here. Detroit is awful. There is nothing that they are, quote, good at when it comes to the sport of football. So,
right.
I would be very afraid to take the home dog in this situation.
I think so as well. I can't imagine there's going to be much, if any, action on them at this number. We come next to my 1,000-star, gold-plated, lock of the millennium for NFL Week 5. It's the Bengals. They are weighing 2.5 at home against Seattle. It had been 1.5 initially. And, again, the Bengals, I've been saying it, and your hero, Bill Barnwell, who actually, I say that facetiously, but I respect him, look up to the guy a lot, too. He's with me. The Bengals, it's not just the eye test. The Bengals are legitimately much better this year. I saw that, and I knew I was going to have to fuck the balls with it when Barnwell got on the Bengals bandwagon here. Seattle on a short week, they're not going to be able to protect Russell Wilson against the Bengals front seven. Are you kidding me? Bengals may romp in this one, and you know that I'm a Seahawks hawk.
No. First of all, I love the aggressive take of your hero Bill Barnwell coming right out of the gate there. I really enjoyed that. But
Thank you.
Know, I don't know, but I know people of your ilk, just like the Skim articles, just to have their own beliefs reaffirmed. I read the whole thing, by the way, and you'll note in there was a paragraph that I completely agree with. No surprise, because Bill Barnwell, well, not my hero. I typically line up with him on many things in the sport of pro football. I am not buying this whole "this is a new improved Cincinnati" thing. I'm not. I think we've seen this before. We've seen them be impressive before. 2 years ago, I had this team playing in the AFC Championship game. Everyone made fun of me. They had impressive stretches. They'd beaten New England at home. I remember there was a game where they just crushed Indianapolis at home that same year. You know, maybe I was wrong to be as down on them coming into this year. You know, they definitely did take a step back last year. But I wouldn't lay points against Seattle. I'll tell you this. I'm really excited to watch this game. This is your game of the week, in my opinion. It's not a great spot for Seattle on a short week playing early. I'll say that.
Right.
So I can't really endorse them either. But this is a prove-it game for Cincinnati. You know, everyone's on them in Atlanta again. I've heard this song before, Rick Morris, and it never ends well. So, it just doesn't. I mean, I would put these teams, right. those two a hair below New England, Green Bay, and maybe Denver just because of past performance.
When we convene for week 6, we'll see who was right.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.